A homily for Easter Sunday. Here we are, after a most extraordinary and, for quite many countries, a sacrament-less Lent, we have arrived at what Lent prepares us for, the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. It is Easter Sunday, the preeminent feast of the Catholic religion. The strangeness of the churches being still inaccessible has also made this Easter just as quiet and devoid of the sacraments as Lent was. I'm certain that for Catholics all over the world, the memory of Lent 2020 will be singed deep into our collective memories as being the most unusual and surreal of times. I must admit that if I can feel a bit conflicted with being, on the one hand, wanting to be in a festive and celebratory spirit with the arrival of Easter and the joy of the Lord's resurrection, and on the other hand, still finding ourselves as a people ensconced and holed up in our homes in our united attempt to break the escalation of the spreading of the coronavirus in so many countries, then how much more would Catholics like you, who are listening to this Easter homily, and your families, experience this same conflict as well? What keeps my spirits up and aloft in such strange times isn't so much that I'm only depending on the end of this pandemic to arrive before I am joyful and positive. If it is, then the joy that I have in my faith would be very conditioned and predicated on something to happen in order for there to be reason to be positive and joyful as a Christian and as a priest. Each year, we are reminded by our faith that we are an Easter people. And this is despite how some of us may be facing challenges in our lives, like maybe being ill or infirm, or having marital or family troubles at home, or maybe even being out of work. Easter joy is still a reality, and the Lord's resurrection is still true despite us experiencing these kinds of afflictions, troubles, or adversities in our lives. But it certainly entails some effort on our part to want to believe in the truth of the resurrection and to apply its positive effects to our lives. Perhaps it is this effort that we hardly give much thought to, and think that just because it is Easter, that it should come automatically. Well, I think that for this year especially, we all know that it is not automatic. You, the person listening to this homily, needs to activate your faith and apply this to whatever situation you are facing right now and bring the truth of Jesus' resurrection and its power to whatever darkness that you may be facing in life. What is the power of this truth, you may ask? It is the power that Jesus showed on Calvary, that when love is given in the most selfless way, the most generous way, the least selfish way, and in the way that isn't at all calculative and stingy, that it becomes something that leads to life. Now we see this in nature, when something that is so small and seemingly lifeless, like a seed, is buried in the soil. It dies in the soil. But in truth, it doesn't. It is giving itself up into the darkness of the soil. It becomes able then to come to life in a very true way. Now, Jesus' humble and willing entry to his ignominious and shameful death on Calvary, despite his innocence, is his ultimate act of love for humankind, so that we have the hope of eternal life after we die in this life. And this is a power that is available to all of us. It is a power that is available to you, the listener to this message, of hope. You may not have let this reality truly sink in before, but now is such an important time to claim this power over whatever darkness you may be facing, whether it is as an individual or maybe as a family going through this together. St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, which is our second reading at Mass, iterates this truth when he says that we have been brought back to true life with Christ. In saying this, he makes a distinction, therefore, between life and true life. Life that is not with Christ is not life. This would be life that is lived for the self, for earthly gain and worldly glory. And we all know that all this is finite and very short-termed. Pope Francis was insightful about this when he said to an interviewer recently how most of the world leaders' thinking have been shaped around the economy and how we are living in a throwaway culture that doesn't really treasure or respect life as it ought to be respected. If as a people we are far more concerned and worried about getting the economy going than we are for making the world a safer and better place to live in by truly caring for one another in a deep way, we are still not living the life of Christ as Paul envisioned. But a life with Christ is a different life. It is a life that is not primarily lived with the eye cast primarily on the economy. While it is important, it isn't the most important. It is only a means to an end and should never be an end in itself. Our shared end, Christians, is our life in Christ in the life eternal. How we live this life, shaped by Christ's values and lived with Christ's heart of love for God and for neighbor, needs to be what defines our lives as faith-filled disciples of Christ. Now, this is all hidden in Christ, as Paul tells the Colossians. Right now, a lot is hidden from our eyes as well. We don't see clearly right now, but we want to. But we are not alone in this inability to see clearly. In our gospel text of Easter Sunday, notice how even those who had been with Jesus during his active ministry years, those who were his close disciples, also couldn't see clearly on Easter Sunday morning. From John's gospel account of the resurrection, we see how Mary of Magdala didn't immediately believe because she thought that the body of Jesus was stolen. And when she ran and informed what she saw to Peter and John, we see also a similar result. Peter goes into the tomb, and we are not told that he declared that the resurrection had happened. Even John doesn't give himself a pass, because even though he does say that he believed, he adds in the very next sentence, "Till this moment, they had failed to understand the teaching of Scripture that he must rise from the dead." All this shows one thing, that the truth of the resurrection isn't something that is immediately seized, apprehended, and accepted for fact. The dots sometimes are not so clear. They don't often join up with crystal clarity. If it was not immediate for the disciples, we would be rather presumptuous that it will be a cakewalk for us. But the effort that we put to want to believe in the truth of the resurrection and apply this to whatever situation of death or dying that we may be facing in life is our faith in action. It is the joy that we bring to others despite our own feelings of inadequacies or uncertainty. It is our being generous despite how little we ourselves may have in terms of resources, whether they are financial or just our energies or time. It is our giving of ourselves despite not being appreciated or recognized. This is how Easter joy becomes real for others. And this is how it also can become infectious to bring life to the communities that we are in. Yes, we are still predominantly staying indoors this Easter, but this doesn't in any way negate the truth of the resurrection, the reason and the foundation of our Catholic faith. May the truth of the empty tomb that was prophesied for centuries before it happened give us the stability and courage that we need at this most unusual of times, simply because we are an Easter people and Alleluia is our song. A happy and blessed Easter to all.